But yeah, so I've just been trying to like get out and like do something, you know, a couple times a week, even if it's just something small. So today I've been, we have these like vines, which are great because they like grow up the side of the garage and like they're on the fence. It looks very like quaint. But they also grow like wildfire, and like they've like just they had like totally overtaken this whole corner of like the yard, and like they were in the weeds, and or they were like in the lilac bushes, and so I went and cleared all that out this afternoon.
Isn't that funny how distressed look things? It's very like there's a limit to it. You know what I mean? Where it's like, ooh, a little bit of like, you know, a vintage antique, I don't know, like gardening, like water pot or something. That's like, ooh, it's so cool. It's a little rusty, but it's like it's all rust. You're just like, well, that sucks, right? A little bit of vines is okay. Not too much vines, though.
Vines growing over the fence, super cute. The vines like
Super cute.
going onto the sidewalk and like then coming up the house again. Like, all right, that's a little intense. So
Too much of a good thing.
got in there and just gutted them out. And with that, we are underway here at the Dummy Run Podcast, a Minnesota United leaning MLS podcast that may mention the USL from time to time. I'm Alex McCracken. He's Grant Hirschberger. Grant, we scraped and clawed and we felt third place there for like a couple hours, dropped back into fourth, but a positive week nonetheless. And it feels crazy that this whole year has felt so down and out, when yet, like, a couple wins in a row, we're up in a third for a minute.
It's funny how it's not what have you done, it's what have you done for me lately. And so, like, there was a point in the season where, like, you know, we were on, like, a three-game losing streak or something. You know, the NYCFC, New England, Inter-Miami streak. And everything was really bad. And now, five games undefeated, four of those being wins, and you know, all of them, including us scoring a goal, which we had struggled to do previously.
Well, Kansas City, we kind of scored a goal.
It's true. That's true, right? What a weird
They don't ask
weird
how,
game.
They just ask how many, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Hey, stat sheet doesn't say own goal. It just says one, okay?
It does say own goal.
Sorry, I guess I'm looking at the results here.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, all right. Result sheet.
There you go.
Scores and fixtures.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, scoreboard.
Yeah.
Anyways, things are so, you know, interesting, whatever. And that draw felt very disappointing because we did, I think, underperform, right? Like it was not an ideal showing from the team, but okay, a couple of wins strung together and a draw. You still get points. I don't know. I'm feeling okay. Yeah. I don't feel like we have to talk much about Sporting Kansas City. That felt more of it like an outlier, it was a Wednesday game. It just in the middle of nowhere and not middle of nowhere location-wise, but, you know, just everyone was tired. Everyone was exhausted. And I think that you can kind of, what, do we say burn the tape?
I think you burn the tape.
I think you burn the tape. You know, whatever. Own goal, doesn't matter. It got in.
Yeah.
DC United.
So today, yeah, let's do it. Let's talk a little bit. I think Sporting Kansas City is what it is. Let's talk DC United briefly. And then actually for this episode, we're going to end early and we're going to hop over. We got an invitation to do a podcast with some Houston Dynamo folks. So most of today's episode is actually going to live over on their side of things. We'll do a brief recap of DC United and then we'll hopefully provide their show link or episode link in our bio. So
Their name is Dynalytics.
Dynalytics. All right. So you should be able to go in there and see their latest episode. And we're going to do a full episode with them looking ahead at next week. But Sporting Kansas City, I think you burn the tape. The only thing you maybe take from it is just like that's what happens when you like run your guys like that, I think. You know, I think most of our guys have been going really hard. And eventually that was going to catch up with us. It's unfortunate it came against Sporting Kansas City. But I suppose maybe that's just because they always have our number. And beyond a moment of brilliance by, you know, by Johnny Russell, maybe a moment of brilliance is giving Willow too credit. You know, we very easily could have won that game. Dane St. Clair had another great one. But yeah, DC United, I was there. Got to actually watch it pretty closely this time. I was kind of like with some friends who don't usually go to games, so we just like spent the time like walking around, and we actually went up to the top of the Wonderwall and watched it. I thought overall it's a great performance. Grant, let me get your reaction to it first before I go any further than that.
Wait, no, it's always my reactions first. I want you to keep going. You go ahead. Untainted. Let's hear it, baby.
Rewatching it, I think I was a little more disappointed than I was in the moment watching it. I think that there were missed opportunities a lot. That final ball has been lacking. DC United is just a mess. I think any better team, and they score at least two. So maybe that causes us to batten down the hatch a little bit more and score a third. But overall, the performance was not as glowing as I thought it was when I was in the moment. Still good. You still got to beat the teams in front of you. And sometimes you don't always play as well against a poor team as you do against a good team. And I think that's just like the nature of sport. But still, some of the shine came off when I rewatched it the next morning.
I think that's very fair. I also think, you know, again, you're coming off a Wednesday game where guys were already tired. So there's still that level of exhaustion, in my opinion, to some degree. You know, you got some knocks and stuff. But yeah, I mean, this is a game that I think if they were a better team, they could have scored a goal or two. And I think we, against DC United, should have scored another goal or two. I mean, Bongi looked so close. He's knocking on the doorstep, yeah. Man.
But okay. But we've been saying that a lot. And when you watch him, is it that he's so close? Or is it that, it really is the same thing, right? Like, he needs to develop that final decision-making or that final... That header he had, yes, like, the defender did well to clear out the line, but, like, he also kind of, like nestled it into the goal. I think in that moment, you can drive it in there.
You know, I think any time a defender clears something off the line, though, like... Okay, the defender threw his head in that perfect space right as the ball was going across. Are you saying he should have, like, headed it harder?
Yes, or, I am.
I mean... Sure, but which, like,
as someone who's never done that before, I don't know why I feel so confident saying that, but like, he kind of headed it and like cushioned it as if he was like, as it like what you would do to like drop it down to a teammate, or if you felt like you couldn't get all the way on it. But I feel like he was in a better position than he thought he was to like power through it, you know. And I think,
Alex, have you ever scored a header goal?
Oh yeah, back in my, when I was 13, 14, you better believe it, which is basically okay. The same thing as being a professional athlete, so I kind of know what I'm talking about
here. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay,
no, here's and what I don't say. Mean to be, all joking aside, like, I love what we're seeing from Bongi to the point where I think we should question if it's even worth talking about Lude in a long-term position somewhere else, because I love what Bongi's bringing. But I'm starting to feel like maybe it's a little less... He's been unlucky, and a little more like that's the part of his game he still needs to develop is that final ball, whether that's crossing or scoring.
Well, I mean, to compare him to Lude, I think, do you remember the first year Lude was here? There was a couple of different things about his game that needed a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of, you know, fitness and comfortability and position wise, he was a little off. But he was one of those guys who we kept saying, well, look at how close he's getting. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't finishing. No pun intended with his, you know, nationality. But he wasn't finishing, but, like, he was so close. And we were like, if he can just find that little tweak he needs to make, yeah. Whatever it may be.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true.
And I would much rather have a player who is creating a lot of chances and is struggling to finish than a player who, like, just doesn't create. And maybe they get, like, one opportunity to score and they do, but it's like... Mm-hmm. I'd like creators, right? People make things happen. You cause some chaos and, you know... Lo and behold, some goals are scored. So
yeah, no, that's true. You know what? I take it back. He's doing great. I have no qualms with him. The header was a little bit unlucky, and the one that he slid on and missed, like, other than maybe if he could have like started that run sooner, I don't know if maybe that's something he could have done. But he wasn't getting there when, you know, he slid too late or anything. So that was a great game on his part, I think, and he's really, really brought more. Someone else who's been surprising me, and I think we need to like revisit this conversation, is DJ Taylor. I mean, like, so we were saying he, I think we went from, at least I went from like, oh, I think he's promising, to like, man, he's really showing up. And then like, okay, maybe this just like is what he is, you know? And I think that there was a couple weeks where I felt like maybe this is his ceiling. And then this last three games, I think, or two or three games, I mean, he's been, personally, I think he's been phenomenal. I mean, both in the offensive third, whatever, defensively, he's been really well. There was a moment where he recognized that everyone had shifted over weird and got on like a kind of a counter situation, and he cut across and snuffed out a play. He's been playing extremely well, and I think it speaks to his character too that Minnesota United bringing in a new, you know, potential right back didn't just send him down, you know, spiraling out of control.
Oh, I mean, so while you were talking, I was looking up his scores on FootMob, and I can't look at all of them. Is there a way to look at his average? I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Anyways, something for another time, but, you know, I think he has played very well. I think he's taken a real step forward, and I still also don't mind having, you know, the new right back, Alan Benitez, mm-hmm. ready to push him. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you want to have somebody, and you never know when people get injured. Mm-hmm. That's the other big thing of it, too. Last but not least, he can play right wing, this new guy, Alan Benitez. Yeah. So if we need to move him up because Robin has to sink into the middle, which is, like you've been saying, been going pretty well, you know, I don't hate that look either. So who knows? I think competition's a good thing, and we'll see who comes out the other side. But I do believe that for all his ups and downs and the things that we question, Adrian Heath tends to let players like play themselves out of a position, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you get injured or you're really playing poorly, he typically, I mean, with Adrian Nunu probably being the exception, he typically will continue to give you the start. So, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
We'll see. I think DJ Taylor continues to get runs for a while here at least, but, you know, everyone looks pretty gassed at this point. So who couldn't use a break, right?
Yeah, I think it's also funny. Sometimes you can think someone has a position locked down and then a better player comes in. You're like, oh, damn, I didn't even realize that could be done in that position type of thing. And someone we've mentioned while talking about both these players is Robin Lude. Last podcast, again, I said, let's just chill on this, like, Robin as the eight talk. It's been great anyway, but Robin's great, but just relax. Man, this last game, especially DC United, I may be completely coming around to this idea. And I don't even know if this is an idea. Like, I don't know that anyone on the team thinks of this happening long term. But having Robin in the middle, especially for, like, releasing when we win the ball back in our own defensive third, and then also just, like, being that guy on the kind of 30, 25 yards out and when we're on the attack, his vision for long passes, his comfortability on the ball, the way that he can find guys, and also he's obviously a scoring threat, like, it's really changed a lot of the way we play.
And he gets involved in tackles, too. I mean,
yeah.
He throws himself around there.
And I think that's gotten better, too. The first couple games, it looked like it was like he was getting a lot of yellows because he was kind of late to stuff and getting frustrated. But these last few, he's seemed much more sound.
He's got the timing down. And I think, like, obviously he's comfortable enough doing that playing with Finland because he does occasionally play as an eight for Finland. But he's got the righteous indignation look down. You know, when he gets right. a yellow card, he's yep. got the funniest face. And it kills me because it's such a, oh, it couldn't be me, right? Yeah. Of course not me. He's really got that look down. But, I mean, as much as I do like him at the eight, I'm hard-pressed to imagine a scenario where Arriaga comes back or Hassani Dotson comes back
right.
and he stays in that position. I think we'll move him backside. But it's really good to know in a pinch, you know, that he can do it. And now you have the question of what do we do with Chicory Hayes? Because Chicory Hayes just dropped down one more spot in the depth chart, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not that I like Jacory Hayes, so not that I'm, like, you know, rooting for that, but clearly he definitely did because mm-hmm. now Lude is starting and he looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now the last thing, which is too bad, I like Jacory Hayes too, and I think he's good, but he definitely is like the odd man out. Right now his thing seems to be coming on for Ray when we're closing out a game. He's like a defensive option at the 10 or something, you know.
Yeah,
that seems to be what he's doing most of.
Is that even a 10 then? If
it's a false 10.
It's a false 10. Okay, that is not anything we need to dive into right before we are about to hop on this guest pod. So, Alex, any quick hits you want to talk about before we direct our listeners over? Yeah,
I mean, quick hits. I think, you know, Ray obviously has been looking great again.
The Kamar Lawrence.
What's that?
Kamar Lawrence.
Kamar Lawrence is looking great. Ray's looking great. Amaria seems to have his confidence back. You know, you and I had a brief conversation through chat around just what Unu leaving the locker room has done for this team. Jeff Reuter brought that up on MLS Today. Not that Unu is a bad guy or anything. He's actually, from everything we've heard, he's a great guy. But just, like, it was kind of the elephant in the room. Like, this guy's getting paid more than everyone. He's clearly not playing. That's clearly making him unhappy. I'm sure that was making Amaria feel uneasy. I feel like that situation resolving itself has been a weight off everyone's shoulders. And I think you're seeing it maybe the most in Amaria. You know, on the second goal, he was the one that tracked back and, like, helped win the ball back and then made the run upfield and was calm and cool and collected and made the nice pass to Ray. So all that stuff's clicking. And the last thing, like I tweeted today, I think having Everton in town has been not eye-opening, but just a reminder of the type of player that Adrian Heath was. And I think it's really, like, brought me back a little bit from feeling so down about him to, like, okay, don't forget that this guy knows what he's talking about. He may not be the best coach in the world, but he knows the game, and hopefully he can bring this team around to back where he wants it to be.
He knows game, but does he know ball?
That's true. What's your last thoughts? I just went to, like, five things there.
Yeah, I liked all those. My last thought is I love seeing this new, more confident, maybe a tiny bit more selfish version of Ray. I think it's unlocking a different side of his game, which is awesome, because if it's Amaria, if it's Lude, if it's Franco, if it's Bongi, whoever becomes kind of his partner in crime, like he briefly had with Kevin Molino, I think you're going to get a Ray who can score, a Ray who can assist, a Ray who can create all in the same game, and that's going to be a ton of fun. So,
where are we at with Franco?
Like, how, like, heat check?
What? Yeah, heat check. What's the future? Are we still excited about him? Is he?
I'm going to change the metaphor. Stock up, stock down.
Stock up, stock down. I mean, if we're talking about bringing in DPs, is he the prime spot where we could see a DP come in and take it?
I think if we're looking at Heath's tendencies, it's going to be a striker. He tends to want to get a high-level striker, in my personal opinion, because I think he does kind of see himself still at that role. But I don't, I mean, Franco Fracapani's kind of turned it back up recently too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give you an answer on this. I would just sit with my stock. I'm not going to sell. I'm not going to buy.
Okay.
I'm staying with the stock I have on Franco, which is I'm warmer than lukewarm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think I could see us going and looking for something better there. Which it would be a situation where, like, you have a good starter and a good backup. Like, obviously, I don't think Franco's, like, bad. But, like, when you think what Kevin Molina brought to that position and how that changed the game, even at his best, I don't think Franco Fragapani has done that. Other than, like, fumbling in a goal that's, like, kind of, like, not, I shouldn't even say fumbling in a goal, but, like, I feel like almost all of his goals, if not all of them, have happened, like, inside the six.
I will say yes, but I don't, like, if you look at his goals, at least two of them are, like, really well-timed volleys.
Yeah, that's so great.
I mean, in the six for sure, but, like, it's not like they're tap-ins. You know, they are difficult goals to finish. But, you know, I mean, Molino could just dance around a bunch of guys and score from a distance. So I get what you're saying. It's a different kind of player. So,
and he has, like, the yips sometimes when he shoots. I feel like a lot of times when he shoots, it's just this, like, total dud. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being hard on him. I got to be hard on someone each week, it feels like, lately. I don't mean to be that guy.
Alex could have finished it. But,
yeah, right. You know. Get me out there. That was my, come on, coach. That was my other position, left wing. So
security told you to stop bringing your cleats to the stadium. They're like, it's not happening, Alex. They know you by name at this point. Just,
I'm going to just, like, buy the seats next to the bench and just, like, wear a full kit one day and just see if, like, Heath puts me in. Who knows?
Just, like, try to sit on the ledge for a second and then, like, swing your feet over for a second and then just sit there and they'll be like, sir, get down. You'll be like, I'm part of the team.
Here. What's the law where, like, if you take care of something long enough, it, like, technically becomes yours? Like, if I just, like, sit on the bench long enough, technically I'm, like, part of the team, I feel. Like, you have to start paying me now.
Okay, I might look super dumb in front of everybody who's listening, all 12 of you, but isn't it, like, Commonwealth? Is it called Commonwealth law?
Nope, I'm pretty sure that's not.
I know, like, squatters, like, squatters' rights.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, definitely not squatters' rights. Although that kind of counts.
Yeah, you squatted on the bench long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll look it up and maybe that'll be the title of this episode.
I'm sorry. I'm probably dehydrated, so please just ignore that Commonwealth law comment. I'm regretting that, but whatever. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. A quick episode today. We're going to hop over to the Houston Dynamo episode. It's Wednesday night. Minnesota United is playing Everton. Hopefully, Heath doesn't play all of our starters into the ground because he wants to beat his old team. You know he's going to. You know he's going to. And, yeah, we're excited.
I know we just tried to finish this, but you brought up a really good point. How do you have any metaphor you could compare for the personal achievement in Heath's mind of beating his former team? Like, that would be like going back to your old high school and, like, I don't know, dunking on the worst teacher or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's a victory, but like almost a spiteful victory. I know he loves Everton, but I think he really wants to win tonight, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Yeah, he really wants to win tonight. And actually, it's kind of worrying me about how he's gonna like run our starters into the ground, just like prove a point that he's got a good team. You know, Drake has a line about going back to his high school reunion just to make an appearance and make everybody have to go through security clearance. Maybe that's what it is, you know.
Well done. Well done.
I think bars, baby.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can make Everton go through security clearance.
Yeah.
But all right. Fingers crossed, go Loons, and we'll see you over at Dynalytics.
Go Loons.